You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mannequin Chill is back, and last week we were buying the rise. This week, we are going to sell before the stumble. We're going to be talking about candidates that Shane and I are selling in our dynasty leagues before the stumble that we are going to predict or we think is going to happen in this upcoming season. Or it even could be before. It can be based on their market, or it can be based on their production or some combination of both. Normally, production begets what happens with the market, but there's some bets to be made on players that everyone else will say sell high or selling the dip, but we are selling before the stumble, Shane. So let's get right into it. We had some feedback on our buys last week, and it's interesting to see where some of the opinions are on the players that we wanted. But let's start with you. Who is the first player you are going to sell before the inevitable stumble?
Real quick, I love the feedback because feedback was either you're too obvious or you're wrong, which is pretty funny because those are diametrically opposed when you come to this this exercise. But anyway, so I'm going to go obvious again because, well, I'm Captain Obvious and I'm not trying to give you hot takes. I'm trying to give you actionable information. If you want hot takes, go check out many people on Twitter that'll give you that. On X, excuse me. We've been talking about it ad nauseum every time we've noticed that his stock has risen. Happy Easter. CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud is a hard sell for me. QB3 right now in Dynasty. Based off of his QB7 finish last year. I meant to look that up. Didn't actually do it. I find a good parallel or corollary or whatever fancy word you want to use that makes me sound smart to Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's the QB8 in Dynasty right now. And before you go, well, yeah, it's because Harbaugh and they sold all his wide receivers or traded all his wide receivers, et cetera, ad nauseum. He was also the QB7 in January of this year before any of those things happened. So we were already selling him. I find it interesting because he was the QB2 in Dynasty, and we're using KTC. He was the QB2 back in June of 2022. Since then, he's finished as the QB15 and then the QB8. So excluding the QB15 season, which obviously would be a disappointment, he's actually had a good season since then, QB8. But we've treated him basically like he has a leprosy, and everyone tried to move off of him. And again, this is pre-Harbaugh and pre-trading all his wide receivers. CJ Stroud is, I don't want to say he reminds me exactly of Justin Herbert, but he's in that range, right? He's a Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow-ish type of player where most of his points are going to come from passing yards, and that's a hard way to live. As we see from Justin Herbert, who was actually not bad last year, QB8, which is okay, and the drop like that. So Stroud just comes out next year, and he's the QB6, QB7, QB8 in fantasy points. I can see us already moving on to the next hot thing, to the next rushing quarterback that jumps above him, like Anthony Richardson, someone that can actually score in different ways and put up crooked numbers. So CJ Stroud to me is an obvious one at quarterback, and I'm not above picking the obvious ones. Now, will he fall? I don't know. I'm not pretending to know if he will, but I'm saying if he goes out there and puts up another QB7 season, which is a really good season, I could see him falling, even though you wouldn't think that would be a reason to fall.
Yeah, the reality is Justin Herbert in 2021 scored 22.4 fantasy points per game. He was QB2. He rose his dynasty value up to QB2 overall. Joe Burrow the next year, 22.1 fantasy points per game. He was QB4. Rose his dynasty value up to QB3. Both of those guys should be a tail that we've seen before with CJ Stroud. The reality for me with Stroud is he's not really QB3, Shane. Go out and try to trade him for anything close to QB3 value, and you get this same analysis. So it speaks to me that even though on paper, he comes in at QB3 on keep trade cut, you're not getting Jalen Hurts plus form. You're not getting Lamar Jackson plus form. As soon as you try to tier down to Joe Burrow or even Caleb Williams at the 101, the person that has those assets is like, hey, you know what? I'll probably just stick with my guy. So there is a lot of fake value here. Keep trade cut reflects what people would do in a startup. So yeah, I would take CJ Stroud over all the players you mentioned in a startup. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, the 101. But here's why. Literally for what we're talking about. So then I can go and try to trade him for those guys plus, which we know doesn't exist. So it's just this circular logic that doesn't actually lead to a conclusion. So I want to push you a little bit here, and I'm going to make a hypothetical scenario for you where I want you to sell CJ Stroud, but you are not allowed to pivot to Lamar, Hurts, Burrow, Herbert, Anthony Richardson, or Caleb Williams. Anybody with those six, maybe Herbert is the exception. Anybody with those six is going to tell you, Shane, I have no reason to add to the guy I have for CJ Stroud. So how do you actually move him when the reality is that tier where he is at the top of generally is not going to be where people are trying to add up to get him? Certainly, if you can do that, take what you can get, I think. But let's assume you cannot move to any of those guys for a plus. How do you actually move CJ Stroud? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go down to Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott?
Let me stop you there. Go down the Kyler Murray is hilarious to me.
I gave you the names.
No. I know.
Now, because it's your turn to go with Kyler. I think that is probably the range you have to go to get the deal done. So the floor is yours.
Yeah. 1,000%. Any plus I can get on top of Kyler to move Stroud, I would do. I am obviously a Kyler fanboy, I think, but it's not because I like him as a person. I'm a fan of his COD game. I'm a fan of his fantasy production, which he gives you every single season. I'm not going to talk about what it is again, but let's just say if CJ Stroud were to produce like Kyler, I wonder if his dynasty value would drop like Kyler's has, which is weird to me because Kyler has done everything you want from a QB1 in fantasy football. So yeah, Kyler all day. I would probably not move down to Lawrence. I wouldn't move down to Purdy because the return or the extra that I would want with that, I'm probably not going to get. And I'm not going to just move Stroud for the sake to move him. If I could, obviously, if someone wants to throw a first on top of Lawrence, we can talk. If someone wants to throw a first on top of Brock Purdy, although I could probably get more, then we can talk. Kyler's simple. You know, you want to just give me a second with Kyler for CJ Stroud? Like, fair deal. Cool. Like, you win. You got CJ Stroud, the QB3 in Dynasty.
So what is the extra that you'd be willing to take? You mentioned a first with Lawrence. I mean, that I don't think is super unreasonable to ask for. Is that a deal that you would be comfortable just sending out? T-Law and a first for CJ Stroud. Are you comfortable enough with that? Because I know you don't like Trevor Lawrence. He's finished over the last two seasons. He was QB13 in 2022, and his fantasy production didn't go up much last year. Went up a little bit, or right around the same as it was, but there were more quarterbacks that were ahead of him. So he's basically working off of two low-end QB1, high-end QB2 range seasons historically. So even if you say that's just what he is, the thing that I like about Trevor Lawrence, he is as insulated as anybody. He's as insulated as every one of these guys. He will start for another decade. So if you put any value into that, he is one of the few in this range that has very little volatility. The only risk Lawrence has is people realize he's really just like a top 15 QB and not a top 8 QB. So they just start not wanting him that much. But he's going to at least live in the Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins range where maybe he doesn't produce as good as those guys. But look back at some of those guys' fantasy seasons and you put them in today's quarterback landscape. Aaron Rodgers is not finishing QB3, 4, 5, 6 in today's quarterback landscape like he did back when he was playing. The numbers are a little bit higher today. So if you just put that archetype in there, are you just sight unforeseen willing to spam that deal?
Yes.
Mid 25 first and T-Law for CJ Stroud, you're comfortable walking away with
it. Super comfortable. And part of it is like you spoke about, the CJ Stroud QB3 ranking in KTC is tenuous at best. It is a Fugazi ranking. For anyone that's been trying to move CJ Stroud, they know that. You're not getting what you probably think is a proper return for a QB3, especially when you're trying to get another quarterback thrown back in the mix, which, just as an aside, kind of speaks to one of the reasons you might want to get out on CJ Stroud, because that's not even a convicted, as you would say, QB3. So if he fails to produce at an elite level next year, he's going to tumble pretty far, I think. Well, pretty far is probably a strong word, but well below QB3. Anyway, yeah, I would spam and accept Trevor Lawrence in a mid-first. And I'm not even a Trevor Lawrence guy, like you said, but he was a point and a half less than CJ Stroud last year. Yes, CJ Stroud was a rookie, so there's reasons to expect that he could produce at a better clip going forward, because that's what you expect, right? Most players, you expect them to improve upon their rookie season. But even then, it's not an infinite trajectory. It's not like CJ Stroud's going to jump from the QB7 to, you know, 40 points a game or something like that. I don't think that's in his range. I'll just put that out there. Shocking, I know. So yes, I'd move him for Trevor Lawrence in a mid first. I'd prefer a mid 24 first, but if I could only get a 25, I'm fine with that. And that's perfect if you're in a start 11, start 10, or if you're on if your roster is especially thin.
Caleb Williams and the 205 for CJ Stroud.
That's not even close. Caleb Williams.
You have spoken. I think the one more thing to remind everybody with Stroud is he could lose his offensive coordinator. He didn't this year, but he's probably going to in the future.
Right.
And again, that's not saying he's not good. If anything, we have actually spoken positively about Stroud. There's a world where Joe Burrow became a sell, and then as he kind of starts to flatline, you're like, maybe I'll buy. Justin Herbert was a sell, and now you're like, okay, if he falls to QB 9, 10, he becomes a buy. Trevor Lawrence is a buy right now where he is. All we're saying is Stroud is probably going to fall a little bit, and then next year he's going to be QB 6, maybe QB 7, and you're going, oh, give me Caleb Williams over CJ Stroud. Give me Anthony Richardson over CJ Stroud. And then you're going, well, maybe I kind of like CJ Stroud again. So mine is the wide receiver 6 in Dynasty. It's Puka Nacua. This is going to be a less technical argument against Puka Nacua. It is the argument that his name is Puka Nacua. He was a 5th-round pick. Not saying Puka Nacua is not good. He had a historical rookie year. But I do think it's fair to say that a lot of what he did was a product of his offense and his situation and his quarterback. Knowing that, he's still in that situation this year. There's no more competition this year than there was last year. So you don't have a reason to think it's going to fall this year. What I'm saying is there is a lot of dings that could get to Puka Nacua to where the community would go, ah, man, he was a 5th-round pick. I just don't think he's going to hold up at this range. If I had to bet on the range of outcomes, all the things that could happen. He put up such good production last year, Shane. It's going to be hard for him himself to live up to that production. You don't just get better when you put up 1,500 yards. There's a chance he puts up 1,300 and you're like, what a bust. Now, we know 1,300 is not a bust season, but it's possible that he falls back a little bit. Plus the fact his profile wasn't there. Plus the fact there is some volatility with his situation going forward. It just feels like he is a guy that if I had to bet that, I know you said Drake London, but if a Garrett Wilson, a Drake London, a Malik Nabers, someone like that could pass Puka Nacua with just a month of production that looked like what Puka's already done for a season, it's a wrap. He's already passed AJ Brown. He's already passed Garrett Wilson. He's right there with Marvin Harrison Jr. So I just don't see anywhere he can go but down. So I want you to push me on how to actually trade a guy like Puka, because I think the same argument can be made for Stroud. He is wide receiver 6 on paper, but as soon as you try to make a real pivot for value, you probably struggle. So what? I know you had a decent amount of Puka. You sold a couple. Where are you at on him right now? Do you think I'm crazy thinking he can only really go down if I had to bet?
No. I love Puka, but Puka is another one where he's fun. But there is definitely a segment of the population, because he was a late round draft pick, that is looking for a reason that he's going to fail, regardless of what he did in his rookie season. And you were talking about that the Discord the other day, the Heisman chat, and Ray went through that and just broke down how, I guess it was Zach Robinson who left, right? The passing game coordinator, the way he used Puka. And I don't know that it made Puka, but it definitely accentuated his positives, and it highlighted what he could do and used him to the best of his abilities. And if there is not a coordinator there, or passing game coordinator, whatever you want to call them, that's able to do the same thing, you could definitely definitely see a dip in production, but you could just see a dip in production, like you said, because the dude put up over 1,500 yards last year. Excuse me, 1,400 yards. That's a really good season. Rookie, vet, whatever. So he could definitely fall. He's a dude that when I do trade him, and I've traded him for him and I've traded him away, I've been moving him for players like Olave and a pick. If I can get Garrett Wilson straight up, and that's more hedging my bets than anything. Moving for a player like ARSB, can I just add a second to Puka or maybe a third to Puka and get a pick back with ARSB, a lower one, and get ARSB just because he's got a longer track record, so I feel safer with his high-end production.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Would you move Puka plus, I'm not going to make it a premium pick, but I'm going to essentially tack on a pick that has at least or close to first round value. Would you boot Puka and the 109 to get the Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb range?
Yes.
How high would you go with that second pick? Would you do Puka and the 107 for CeeDee Lamb?
Now, this is going to, I hate being this guy. It's going to depend on my roster construction and the how many picks I have, et cetera. Yes. In general, if we're just giving yes or no, I have one league, I have one team, and I'm offered CeeDee Lamb for Puka in the 107, I'll do it. Part of that is because the 107, even if I like this draft class, we know historically the 107 is not going to be a difference maker, even if I like this draft class. And that's just the way it goes. Even if I'm wrong and Puka remains being who he is, CeeDee Lamb was still the wide receiver one overall last year. I have no reason to believe that he's not going to be at least top five scorer for foreseeable future. So even if I'm wrong and Puka still remains the same guy, what I've lost is probably Brian Thomas Jr., Troy Franklin, players that, again, that I think are good, but historically, just based off what you get at 107, probably are not going to be needle movers. So it's not going to be a trade that I make that I'm going to look back in 2 years and go, wow, that just devastated my roster.
So you're willing to go the other way too? Would you trade Puka Nacua away for Jalen Waddle in the 108?
No, I am.
You're not doing that.
No, no, no. And part of it is, I mean, that's the process trade, right? You should do that. But I do think that Puka is significantly better than Waddle. Even if Waddle's situation is going to improve in 2 years with Tyreek allegedly retiring or whatever he's going to do at that point. But no, I'm going to take Puka. And I know there's reason to be concerned about Puka on that end is that Stafford could retire any day now, right? We've had Stafford retiring for, I think, five of the last years. So say Stafford retires, Tyreek retires. You could be looking at this in 2 years and going, oh, crap. You know, Jalen Waddle's in a smash position. Maybe I should have bought him, but nah, I'll pass.
Yeah, I do differ from you. If I can get one of those like third tier receivers, you know, in the Waddle, Ayuk, Devontae Smith, Michael Pittman, that range, and a first for Puka, I would probably do it, especially if it's a first that I know this year can easily turn it into a future first if I want to move out. Or it's still like that 108 is still potentially in the range where you do get a Dunze. You do get a quarterback if you want one. So I think that holds a lot of power. But I think the other part is there's a lot more flexibility with the assets. If you can get Waddle a first and a second for Puka, they're just what you can do with that compared to him. That's a lot of what drove me to pick him, was not his production, not that he still can't be a great receiver, but you said it. People are looking for a reason to ding him, and it just creates a market that is just not as robust for him versus some of the other players that have done what he's done but had higher pedigree coming in. Who is your next one that you want to sell before they fall?
Oh, this is easy. Drake London, wide receiver 10. I've been talking about it ad nauseum. I don't know what else to say. The dude was wide receiver 43, and he did improve significantly from his rookie season to the next year. He went from wide receiver 43 to wide receiver 42. Huge jump. Obviously, I'm being facetious. I know my humor isn't for everyone, and if you don't like it, suck it. What's concerning about that, and I know he had bad quarterback play, right? And we like everything at the bad quarterback play. But his target share took a giant drop last year. It went from 29% as a rookie, which is great, just flat out great, to 23% in his second season. And 23% is still good. I don't know that it's elite. And I don't know that he can be elite at 23% target share. Now, obviously, there's going to be some changes to his quarterback situation, his offense and all that. But I tend to be of the mind, you are what you are. You earn what you earn, right? So I'm a little concerned about that target share. And just frankly, even if he produces at a good level, wide receiver 16, 17, 18 next year, which is good, I think people are going to be disappointed and go, all right, this is kind of what he is, a wide receiver too, even though his situation improves. So I want to get out. And unfortunately, at that point, it's going to be too late to get out on what you paid for him or what you could have gotten for him.
Well, I'm just curious with Drake London, because I do think he is one of those guys that if you're wanting to make the bet, the time to make the bet is right now before the draft. Like, he's already literally recovered almost his full value. If you go to his Keep Trade Cut profile and you look at his lifetime value. So right now he's wide receiver 10. But if you look at his all-time lifetime value, Shane, he has never been higher. The only time he was even close was at the beginning of 2023 season. So this has been the highest that he's gotten to. So just think about that. I want everybody to listen and think about this is a receiver that is going into his third year, has never eclipsed 1,000 yards, I believe, and literally has survived and gained value going into his third year. Simply, and I'm not even going to call it a narrative because I think it's legitimate that Kirk Cousins is an upgrade for Drake London. Zach Robinson is an upgrade from what they've had.
So
those are upgrades. Yes. But this just shows you the power of a profile that people liked and a guy that didn't just completely faceplant, that has a renewed energy in the community and literally can profit from where you picked him. You can legitimately trade him for the same amount that you could have when you drafted him before he had any warts, before he had any bad situations or anything like that. Just think about that. How many other players have people given up on because they haven't smashed through 2 years? Think about the difference between Drake London right now and George Pickens. Pickens has had a lot of the same stuff go for him that London has, right? That kind of like great situation, hope the quarterback play gets better, but he hasn't really gone anywhere in value. Whereas Drake London, he all the way right back up to where we're talking about, man, he could be the next, he could be the next Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson range receiver. It's probably in the range of outcomes, but I agree with you that he's probably a sell if you want to get out. Do not complain that he busted if he goes out next year and only gives you 1,100 yards. It's an increase, but it's not what you're paying for. Everybody else in this range is going to outproduce him. So straight up, you cannot get a top six rookie pick this year. You still interested in selling Drake London? Would you re-roll him for the chance to draft Roma Dunze or a quarterback or Brock Bowers? Is the choice of that pick enough for you to sell him? 107 or Drake London?
No, I'll take London. I want more than
even
that.
In like a two PPR league where tight ends matter more.
Well, here's the problem though. I'm not getting Brock Bowers there.
Right, but you get Roma Dunze, you get Drake May, or you get J.J. McCarthy that falls to you. Bowers will go ahead of you, which means one of the quarterbacks has a much better chance of getting to you.
If we're on the clock and one of the quarterbacks is there by the name of Drake May, if it's training Drake for Drake, I'm not doing it for J.J. McCarthy. I'm not doing it for Roma Dunze. I'll hold on to Drake in that spot.
And that's probably the deflection point, right? In a two PPR where you know Bowers is going to go. So it's probably that 106. 107, you think if you're getting a Dunze or you're getting McCarthy, you're getting a lower tiered player. And I don't think you're incorrect in that assessment. What do you need to get added to a player that's also still pretty young, but someone needs to add to you to get your Drake London? So you get Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Tank Dell, or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. What do you need added for Drake London? Because a couple of those guys you've probably said are just as good as Drake London. They've done, two of those guys have done more than Drake London has ever done.
Yeah.
But you can get a plus. What do you take?
I'm going to need a pretty significant piece on top of JSN. I've discussed that ad nauseum. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings at this point. Jordan Addison.
What's feasible? I'm going to push back on you. What is actually feasible, though?
It's not going to happen.
What can you get? Because the JSN manager is probably looking at him going, he's the next Drake London when Tyler Lockett leaves.
That's the problem, is I'm going to want too much on top of JSN to move Drake London. That deal's never going to get made between me and someone else.
Correct.
It's not. Because I'm going to go
Addison and Flowers then. Because those guys are kind of just
not going to get done. It's probably still not going to get done because I'm going to go, I want
2 seconds.
Flowers. You know what? 2 seconds is fair. Yeah, I could do 2 seconds. Now, I don't know if I'm selling short on Drake London. As a matter of fact, I probably am selling short on Drake London. So I don't know how often I would do that deal, but the value would be right. Drake London, I kind of feel like you need to give me more And I don't know that that's the way I want to use Drake London either. I would personally prefer, can I add something to Drake London and actually get to the elite tier of wide receivers?
Would you add, this is an interesting one, what would you add to Drake London to get Puka Nacua?
I'll add several seconds. I know what I said, several, that's three.
And I'll then get, you'll try to tear off of Puka Nacua for
AJ Brown in the first.
Drake London has shown incredible dynasty insulation, literally going from a place where he's had 2 years of, you know, good metrics, but bad situation, which has led to not good fantasy production, but he's valued higher than he ever has been based on pure situation and narrative. And if there is a time to have conviction, this is the conviction point on Drake London. If there's time, it's right now where you'd be making the move to tear off of him or try to add something on him to go up. But there really isn't a better time to do it. You don't want to wait a month. You don't want to wait until you see it. You don't want to wait for 2 weeks, because what if he comes out and Kirk Cousins looks rusty and he only gets like four catches in the first two games? Now you're like, man, that window of being able to sell Drake London for anything premium is gone. And it may never come back until the production far outseeds or exceeds what you actually were trying to sell for. So,
and you know, our brains are always looking for confirmation. So right. If he comes out there and he does that, it's going to be like, oh, there was always a part of me that thought that this is just kind of who he is. And now it's been confirmed, even though he has a good quarterback, because we will panic after 2 weeks.
And we will make that decision happen. That's what he is after two games. And after eight games, he can smash. But we'll get the community will be done with him if he struggles for the first month. And he does have a quarterback that wasn't having to play a game for 10 months. Right. And is coming off. And it's a brand new quarterback that he's never played with a brand new offense. So there's reasons to think he doesn't just go 10 for 150 in week one.
Right.
So my sell is going to be boring, but this is going to be a guy you just really sit through looking at your tight end rooms. I'm going to sell Jake Ferguson, Shane, only because I think there's some intriguing names that are far below Jake Ferguson that I think probably have similar range of outcomes, and you could probably get a little bit of a plus. Now, depending on how big the premium is, if it's like 1.5, you might be able to get second and a third swap, something like that, to tier down to some of these names. But if it's a bigger premium, like I know like 2 PPR, I got an offer yesterday of Jake Ferguson for Kyren Williams. I turned it down. The reason I'm bringing him today is because I really did an analysis of, okay, what do I think about Jake Ferguson? Because you see a Jake Ferguson for Kyren Williams, you're like, man, I kind of like Kyren Williams, right? But it's a start one running back. It is a best ball. It is a start two tight end, and it is a 2 PPR for tight ends. So right there, I'm like, man, okay, the analysis on Ferguson is this league, I can't trade him away. But man, I'm not comfortable with my Fergusons with the fact that he could lose Dak Prescott. Do you believe Jake Ferguson is a talent that can outpace an average or below average quarterback situation? Would you say no?
I would say no. Right. He's a good player, but he is very much helped by his situation, which is okay. At least he took advantage of it, which some players won't.
And you know what? I think the good thing is you may have a little bit of a window on Ferguson because he should have a pretty good year this year. He still has Dak Prescott and basically the same setup as he did last year, this year. So I'm not concerned about him like producing this year, but I do think before it makes it clear that it's not going to work out between Dak and the Cowboys, and that seems like the way that we're trending, you probably don't want to wait to the end of this year, and we know Dak is gone, to then try to sell Jake Ferguson next February for rookie picks. And everyone's going to go, yeah, but Spencer Rattler is going to be their quarterback. And you're going, it's probably Jake Ferguson. You're going to bury him in the rankings. So can I interest you, Shane, in you giving me Pat Freiermuth and a second for Jake Ferguson in a 2 PPR league? Would you do that deal?
Oh, yes. But I mean, I need the people to understand that this is because I have absolutely no respect for Pat Freiermuth as a fantasy asset whatsoever. He is a absolute fake asset. That's the way I'll use it. He's a fake asset. So I will 100% take Ferguson.
Here's the
even
thing.
Giving up the second.
The reason I said Pat
Freiermuth. You're on mute.
I'm not on mute.
You're still on mute.
I'm not on mute.
Am I on mute? unmute tab.
The reason I brought up Pat Freiermuth is because looking back at the rookie war, through his first 2 years, he was actually a very successful pick, and he's just had things that have come up. I can forgive him for his situation last year, but then we get into this season. I actually kind of like Pat Freiermuth with Russell Wilson and with Justin Fields. There's other tight ends far below that people have kind of just forgotten about. And I think this is interesting, buying back into the pedigree of a guy like Freiermuth, buying back into even at 29 Dallas Goedert, who's just been buried, who I know what Dallas Goedert is, but I'm essentially getting a plus on Dallas Goedert or Jake Ferguson. I don't care which one I have, most likely. And then there's other intriguing names that are even lower than that. How far down can I go to Noah Fant, Shane? I talked about Noah Fant last week as a guy that I wanted to buy the rise on. What can I get on top of Jake Ferguson for Noah Fant? That is the real question. If it's two PPR, so we're talking like tight ends matter. People like tight ends. What can I get on top of Fant?
So it's not apples to apples, but I'm in a league where I just did it in Joku for Noah Fant swap, where what I got back was a second. Definitely was not a 2-point premium. So I need 2 seconds. I need 2 seconds on top of Fant to move Ferguson, and I think you could get that. I think if you ask for a first, if you try to do the first, second swap, that old trick, that it'll get rejected. But that's more, again, I think speaks to the position more than how people truly feel about Ferguson.
Any player that over the next week before the next mannequin chill that you are just going to go out there and silently be trying to sell before they plummet.
Hold on. I need to think. Pause it. So I'm going to go with, again, just a super obvious one, and the comments are probably going to yell at me, but with Rashee Rice being on the run from the law, I believe he is a natural born killer, from what I understand in a lot of the comments. Marquise Brown, who is currently the wide receiver 34, but I feel that will rise probably in the next few days. Already getting steamed up anyway because he landed in KC, but that's a dude I'm probably going to be trying to sell before people come to the realization that Rashee Rice is probably not going to miss a single game in 2024 or 25.
And I'm going to add to the liquidation candidates. I'm going to add wide receiver Jaden Reed, wide receiver 28. I think the arguments there being he had a good rookie year, but we just assume he had a good rookie year, so he's only going to get better, and that he's clearly better than every single receiver on his team. There's arguments to be made that all the other receivers on his team are good, and that that's also a team that could address the position. They've shown they will continue to address it draft after draft after draft. So I just think at wide receiver 28, he's there more as a placeholder because of the old fallacy. He was a rookie. He was good. So he's only going to get a lot better. But what if he just is what he is on a team that has a lot of competition? So Marquise Brown, Jaden Reed, no analysis, but players that Shane and I are going to be trying to liquidate in the next week before the next mannequin chill. This was the episode on selling before these players dip or slip or plummet or whatever you want to call it. But you're trying to move these players because we predict that they are going to fall over the next 6 to 12 months. And at this time next year, you're going to go, I wish I would have cashed out at their current in price. With that, Mannequin Chill is out.